You know, let me ask you a question. If you could change anything about yourself, what would it be? You know, some people would like to be more outgoing, and some people would like to be less fearful, and some people would want to be more productive, and some people would want to be more physically fit, and I guess we all want to be more financially stable. And some people want to change careers. You know, maybe we've even looked various places. You know, people do that. You know, they go to self-help books and health clubs and seminars and conferences and crash diets and personal trainers. And I guess all that's good. But, you know, we must be willing to shift gears in our thinking if we're going to go from where we are to where God wants us. Hello? You know, some cars, you know, now all these young people, they don't know nothing about shifting gears. How many of you know about three in the tree and four on the floor? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? The Bible said, let him as ignorant be ignorant still. No, I'm kidding, guys. Three in a tree is the gear shift up here on the steering column, and four on the floor, you got four gears down here on the floor. And you know, and you got to learn to shift gears. It's funny to watch some of these kids. In fact, I think some of my grandsons working at the ministry on the grounds crew this summer, of course they drive that, but their cars are all automatic, and they had some of those pickups they have to drive down there and stick shift, and they said it, and they were telling me it's real funny to watch those kids, most all the kids down there have to start driving those, and they're jerking around, but they get it. You know, I think we got a video clip I want you to see. Did you see he was shifting those gears? Did you hear that motor change every time he shifted? In fact, if he didn't shift gears, he's going to blow the motor up, because he's going to go get too many RPMs in those different gears. You know this. I mean, man, he started out there. He had four on the floor. What did he do? Boom, boom, boom. I used to do it three in the tree, my 53 Plymouth. I went for second gear one day at the drag strip, and that gear shift, it was about as big as my finger, and it broke off. It was about that long. And so I found out that I could put it down in gear and put that little, and I could shift faster that way. Bam! I could shift faster that way, so I never even put a new gear shift on it. In our Christian life, we have to shift gears in our thinking, in our believing, in our speaking, in our action to move into the things God wants us to have. But it all begins with shifting gears in our mind, thinking. Isaiah 55:8. I'll give you a chance to turn there. You may want to turn there in your deal, and I better turn my, whoa. My ringer was still on. I turned it. I just thought about it. I turned it on. Wow, that would have been bad, wouldn't it? We'd all had a good laugh. We had to, cause the pastor forgot to turn his ringer off, and his phone went off while he was trying to preach. And it's loud. Okay. All right, here we go. Everybody ready? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now I want to read that out of the Message version. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work, God's decree. For as the sky soars above earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Now, God definitely has thoughts. He says here, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But I want to tell you something. The good news is that God wrote his thoughts down for us so we can know what he thinks. Right here, we call it the Bible. Hello? Now, you may have it there, or you may have it here, or you may have it on iPad. Marvin, there's, hold that iPad up. Marvin got it on his iPad. You know, I don't know how many versions I can go right here if I want to go get a different version right here on this. How many of you got it on one of your devices? Hold them up. More people got those. How many of you got a regular Bible with you? Let me see it. Hey, it's about even. Well, I got both. See, I got. All right. You know, when we read the Word of God, then we know what the way God thinks and what he thinks about things. When a doctor tells us there's no cure, that's man's level of thinking. But God's level of thinking is by his stripes we're healed. That's God's thinking. You know, we need to shift gears in our thinking so that we think God's way. But then, you know, some people in neutral. Now, neutral in a transmission is you take it out of gear. It's not in any gear at all. And you can push the car fairly easy when it's in neutral. You're not going to push it very good when it's in gear. You can, but you better have a bunch of people. But it's in neutral, and it'll just coast. If you know, as a teenager, my 53 Plymouth, if I was getting low on fuel, when you got a bunch of hills, when you get to the top of the hill, you just kick it in neutral and just let it coast down the hill, you know, and you save your gas that way. How many of you ever watch NASCAR on the TV? Any of you? You ever notice they talk about they're saving fuel, and when they're in a yellow with the yellow flag going around there, you'll see it. They'll reach up and cut the engine off and just let it coast for a little while. And then they'll hit it back on and do the same thing because they're saving fuel. That's the way some people are. They're just in neutral. They're just coasting along in life. Whatever happens, happens, you know. And then some people got it in park. You know. And they're not doing anything. They're just there. You know, so that's what I'm talking about, shifting gears. You know, if we're going to follow God's plan, we got to shift gears. Go to Numbers 13:30, and I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version. I like to read sometimes from a different version because it reads a little differently and sometimes a little more like we talk. Okay, Caleb calmed the crowd and said, "Let us go up and take the land. I know we can do it." But the other men replied, "Those people are much stronger than us." Then they started spreading rumors saying, "We won't be able to grow anything in the soil, and the people are giants. In fact, we saw the Nephilim there, who are the ancestors of the Anakim, and they were so big that we felt as small as grasshoppers." Now, here's the thing about it. Israel had left Egypt, but they've been slaves for a long time. And they had a slave mentality. And that caused them to see themselves and think of themselves as grasshoppers. That kind of thinking kept them from going into the promised land. And God already told them he's going to give it to them. It took 40 years of wandering in the wilderness for him to get the grasshopper thinking out of them and get them into a conquering mentality. They can do it. You know, stop and think about this for a minute. Just stop and think about it. Do you realize the giants did not defeat them? They defeated themselves with their own thinking. We're grasshoppers, we can't. See, the Israelites had to shift gears from the slave mentality to the conquering mentality. Now, you know, there's another guy in the Bible by the name of Gideon. He had to shift gears in his thinking. You can go to Judges 6, chapter 6, if you want to read with me. Judges chapter 6. I'm going to read again from contemporary English, starting with the 12th verse. I'm looking here. When I see people on the front row get it, then I'll start telling it. All right. The angel appeared and spoke to Gideon. The Lord is helping you, and you are a strong warrior. Gideon answered, please don't take this wrong, but if the Lord is helping us, then why have we have all these awful things happen? We've heard how the Lord performed miracles and rescued our ancestors from Egypt, but those things happened long ago. Now the Lord has abandoned us to the Midianites. Then the Lord said, the Lord himself said, Gideon, you'll be strong because I'm giving you the power to rescue Israel from the Midianites. Gideon replied, but how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest one in Manasseh, and everyone else in my family is more important than I am. Gideon, the Lord answered, you can rescue Israel because I'm going to help you. Defeating the Midianites will be as easy as beating one man. Now, here, Gideon had to shift gears from his thinking of low self-esteem. He said, my group of people, we are the least and the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And then he said, I am the least of the least. And so he had to quit thinking the way he thought about himself and start thinking the way God thought about him. See, Gideon thought himself as the least of the least. God thought of him as a deliverer. Hey, when he changed his thinking about himself, he became the deliverer of Israel. Sometimes we have to change our thinking about ourselves before we can go on and get all the blessings of God. See, we gotta begin to think we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. That's what the Bible says, right? Philippians 4:13. I can do. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, but that's spiritual. It doesn't say spiritual. It says I can do all things. That includes spiritual and natural. Come on now. See, we got to start thinking, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Quit thinking about how big the devil is. Start thinking about how big the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. Come on now. See, thinking has a lot to do with where you end up. See, Peter had to switch his thinking. He had to switch gears. And you read from Luke 5, 4 through 7. I'm going to read the contemporary again. When Jesus had finished speaking, he told Simon, row the boat out into the deep water and let your net down and catch some fish. Master, Simon answered, we've worked hard all night long and have not caught anything. But if you tell me to, I will let the net down. They did and caught so many fish, their nets began ripping apart. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. The men came in together. They filled two boats so full that they both began to sink. Now, here, he had to change his thinking from what he knew in the natural. He'd been there. He'd fished all night. Anyway, they didn't fish in the daytime. They fished at night. That's when they caught the fish. There then. Now, but you see, he had to change his thinking to the way Jesus was thinking. Now, he may have looked stupid to the other fishermen rowing out there, and they may have even laughed. But he looked pretty smart when he started catching fish. See, Jesus knew where the fish was and he gave him the directions to go get them. But if he would have argued with Jesus, he'd have never got it. See, sometimes God talks to people and they start arguing with them. And then sometimes that God will start to move and people start saying, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And they just shut the door right there by saying, I can't believe it. They know down what would have happened if they had kept saying, oh, praise the Lord, I believe God. But they said, I can't believe it. They shut the door. Don't look at me like that. It's the truth. You know, I tell this story all the time in my preaching out on the road when I'm doing my healing service. But my dad, I remember, I don't know, I was probably 9, 10 years old. And how many of y'all remember when church used to have an altar bench down front? Anybody remember when they had an altar bench down front? And so dad called. He said, everybody in here that has trouble walking, any kind of trouble walking, get down here. Well, they had to help some people down there. One man scooted down there like this. He was all, he had been in a fire and his ligaments and muscles were all drawn up and he just was just doing this. One lady, she got down there. She was crippled down there. I remember they sat down on the altar, 10 of them. And he just walked up in front of them and said, in the name of Jesus, run. Boy, they jump up, take off, jump up, take off. That old man, he jumped up and he started scooting. He went down that aisle, scooted fast as he could. When he come up the other, and he was running full blast. Now, there's 10 people. 9 of them did it. See, they changed their thinking. Jesus said it. I can do it. This woman, he pointed her and said, run in Jesus' name. This is exactly what she said. My God, preacher, I can't even walk, much less run. Exactly like that. Just real loud. And he said, well, I saw you get down here by yourself. Some of these people had to be almost carried down here. Look at the man. I know, I saw them do it, but I can't. And she didn't. 9 people left that couldn't walk, had problems with their legs, healed. But you see, her thinking, she thought, I can't. They didn't think I could. They said, well, if Jesus said it, okay, here I go. Anybody, you understand what I'm saying? How many getting a hold of what I'm saying here? See, if we're going to shift gears in our thinking, then we got to renew our mind, our thinking every day. Psalms 1-3 in the Contemporary English says, God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in the sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. And they are like trees growing beside a stream that produces fruit in season, always in heaven leaf. Those people succeed in everything they do. You've got to renew your mind daily with the word, just like you comb your hair or shave or brush your teeth. I hope you do every day anyway. If you don't, you're helping the dentist. You're paying him a bunch of money. See, daily renewing the mind with the word helps you to think in line with what God says. See, now, sometimes we have to do something. Look at Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Matthew 6:6. I'm going to read from the New King James and then the Message. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And then Message said, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there and as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. You know, sometimes, you know, you just need to find a place that's quiet where there's nothing that bothers you. And you can begin to focus on God. Everybody does stuff differently. I guess I'm a different kind of a person. I don't know. I talk about me. I know you don't want me talking about you, so I'll talk about me. Now, I like to listen to my music and just walk around or sit and meditate and pray. And, you know, that's just what I do. And then I began to think, you know, and meditate how good God is, how big and powerful he is. When you start to think like that, the devil gets real small and God gets really big. Especially if I'm meditating about abundance and things that we need financially here at the ministry or personally, I begin to think about his abundance, supply, the abundant supply. You know, Brother T.L. Osborne, I know him since I was a teenager, I guess, because Dad and him, they all preached together back in those years. I was sitting talking with a bunch of ministers one day, and I started going back and talking about, I started back in about 1944, and in that area between 44 and 46, Wigglesworth died, Amos Siegel MacPherson died, and Charles Price, the great Canadian evangelist, died in that period of time. And all the older people, oh, what are we going to do? And the younger men began to pray. And in 47, a healing revival started that lasted from 47 to 58 with all the people. And I knew them all. Dad was a part of it. But, you know, and Brother T.L. was. And as I was talking about that, and then I talked about it, went on, I just started going through and went all the way to the present day. And they said, man, you need to record that. Said, you're one of the few that's probably still alive that was there and knew all of those guys. You name them, and I know them, been in their services. But, you know, but Brother T.L. said this, when the mind perceives God's abundance and begins to comprehend that he created the wealth of this earth for the blessing of his children, the walls of mental enslavement begin to crumble and the rainbow of God's plenty appears. That's a good statement. That's from his book, How to Enjoy Plenty. Thinking God's thoughts leads you to believing God's word. Right believing leads you to speaking God's word. Right speaking positions you to experience the blessings of God. Now, there's a book back there in the bookstore. It's called Right and Wrong Thinking. And the author on it is got the same name I got. It's my dad, Kenneth Hagin. But he's got a little book. If you've never read Right and Wrong Thinking, how many of you have read Right and Wrong Thinking? How many, keep your hand up. How many of these that haven't, how many, wave your hand if you would suggest they read Right and Wrong Thinking. It goes right along with what I'm talking about here tonight. You that have read it, right? Yeah. You know, we need to realize that the way we think changes everything. It changes everything. If we're going to defeat Satan, then we got to think in line and speak in line with God's word. Hello? Yeah. You know, so we need to tap in to the promises of God. We need to tap into the power of God. We need to really understand what our redemption through what Jesus did at Calvary has brought to us. That's why I love to teach redemptive realities of who we are in Christ. Getting to know who you are in Christ and getting a hold of that and getting that down in there will change you from everything, will change your thinking. You know, the connection between thinking God's thoughts, believing God's word, and speaking God's word brings the blessings of God's word to you. So tonight, decide to shift gears. Take it out of park. Take it out of neutral. And put it and go get in gear. But you can't, if a transmission has three gears, then if you want to get up to speed, you got to get in the high gear. That's the last gear. You probably don't notice it, but if you'll notice, your automatic transmission shifts about four or five times, depending on what model and newer cars. Like my car, it's got six different gears in it. Now, we used to have, back in the old manual transmission days, we had a little button that we could pull called overdrive. Oh man, when you get there, you cruising, baby. You got it going on. Okay? That's where we need to get to. We need to, in thinking with God's word, we need to begin to shift the gears till we get to overdrive with God. We just cruising with God, enjoying all the blessings, all the benefits that belong to us. Long as you stuck in second gear, you ain't going nowhere. You can only go as fast as second gear will let you go. That's the truth. I mean, my car, it's got on the steering wheel, it's got paddles, these little paddles, and you can actually shift it manually if you want to. Well, she drives my car sometimes, and she'll hit one of them, and what's the matter with the car? Because the engine's just racing like crazy. And I look over and say, hey, man, I hit the other paddle on this side. Get it out of the gear, because I look at that tachometer about to red line on me over there. And I don't want that, you know. But you rev up your motor, but you don't go nowhere. Because you're already doing all that gear will let you do. So that's why you need to continually change gears in your mind. How do you continually change gears? By getting in the word and reading the word. That helps you to begin to change the gears and think like God does until you hit overdrive. Everybody stand up and praise the Lord. We want an overdrive experience with God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. I just simply talk to these people about thinking in line, shifting their mind, shifting gears in their mind to get a hold of the things of God and move with you and get all the blessings that you want them to have. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. How many of y'all got anything out of this tonight? Your thinking sometimes is holding you back and you don't realize it. You're stuck in gear. You know, them old manual transmissions, if you wasn't careful, you could get it stuck in gear. And you have to crawl underneath the car and begin to manipulate that thing, and you finally get it out of gear. It ain't no fun to crawl underneath there when you got your Sunday suit on, though. Anybody ever done that? I got some people been that one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, hey, let's shift our gears and think in line with God's word and enjoy the benefits of it. Amen. If you happen to be here tonight and you're not in the family of God, you've never accepted Christ your Savior, well, that's the gear you need to shift into, because you can't get anything I'm talking about until you become a part of the family of God. And you do that by accepting Jesus Christ your Savior. Also, some of you are stuck because you're not where you need to be with God. You used to be, but you backed off, and you need to come and rededicate your life. Hello. Or some of you need to go ahead and receive the Holy Spirit. Or if you need prayer for any reason, any of those that I talked about or any other reason you need prayer, our prayer team, ladies here, the men here, as we're dismissed, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, connection team, go find our first time guest. We are so glad to have you. Hey, if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on, join us. We have a great time serving God around here. Amen. So come join us. If you're just passing through our area, then make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. So would you take those guys to this place where they can get that special gift we got for them right now? Praise the Lord. Hey, remember all the announcements? Oh, yeah, give them a hand. Thank God for all of our guests. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember the announcements. Remember Student Ministries. Yeah. Student Ministries, they need help. Other places was needing some help. Hey, and bring people. Come to the musical. It's going to really be good. And then we're going to have a great time. I don't know. We had some T-shirts here years ago. Said, I love my church. Y'all might want to, if you got one, wear it. And maybe it'll open a door for somebody, open you to talk to somebody. You know, just don't go up and grab somebody. That ain't the way to do it. But if they was to start talking to you and asking you some questions, you could do a little witnessing, okay? Amen. Take every opportunity. Praise the Lord. Don't force nothing on nobody or don't try to force nothing. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. We got any more announcements? Did I get everything? All right. Shake hands with somebody and say, I'm shifting my gears. What about you? If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.